Welcome to episode 1335 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. We have spent this week exploring the first guideline, you shall have no other gods before me. And if we are honest, it can sound oppressive. It can sound like God demanding control, like God saying, give me absolute allegiance and suppress everything else you love. But this is a profound misunderstanding of what God is actually doing. God is not interested in dominating your desires. God is not trying to eliminate your loves so you become a hollow servant, stripped of passion and particularity. God is not trying to police your heart into compliance. God is trying to heal your heart. God is trying to order your loves so that you can be free. There is a difference between suppression and ordering. Suppression says, stop loving that thing. Kill the desire. Become indifferent. Ordering says, love that thing rightly. Love it in its proper place. Love it in relation to everything else that matters. The first commandment is not about suppression. It is about healing and ordering. It is about taking a fragmented, disordered heart and restoring it to wholeness. Consider one of the most tender moments in Scripture. It is after Jesus' resurrection. Peter has spent 3 years following Jesus, learning from him, being transformed by him. But when Jesus was arrested, Peter denied him. 3 times he said he did not know Jesus. And now, risen from the dead, Jesus appears to Peter. And Jesus asks him a question.
Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?
Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.
Feed my lambs.
Again, Jesus said.
Do you love me?
Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.
Take care of my sheep.
The 3rd time he said to him,
Simon, son of John, do you love me?
Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the 3rd time.
Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.
Feed my sheep.
Notice what Jesus does not do. He does not shame Peter for his denial. He does not lecture him about disloyalty. He does not demand repentance or punishment. Instead, Jesus asks a question, do you love me? 3 times. Once for each denial. And with each question, Jesus is not interrogating Peter. Jesus is restoring him. Jesus is inviting Peter back into the fundamental reality of their relationship. Do you love me? This is crucial. Jesus does not ask, will you obey me? He asks, do you love me? Because Jesus knows that if love is restored, obedience will follow naturally. If the heart is healed, the behavior will be ordered rightly. And then Jesus tells Peter what to do. Feed my sheep. Take care of my sheep. Jesus is saying, your love for me will express itself in care for others. Your restored relationship with me will order your life toward service. This is what the first commandment actually accomplishes. It does not dominate Peter's desires. It heals them. It orders them. It takes a fractured heart and restores it to wholeness. Listen to how the psalmist describes what happens when God is truly at the center.
Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure.
Notice the language. Pleasant places. Delightful inheritance. My heart is glad. My body will rest secure. This is not the language of suppression. This is not a heart that has been forced into submission. This is a heart that has been healed and ordered, and it is experiencing joy. The psalmist is saying, when God is at the center, when God is my primary allegiance, everything else finds its proper place. My security is not based on what I can control or accumulate. It is based on God. And in that security, I can actually enjoy the other good things in life. I can be glad. I can rejoice. My body can rest. This is the healing that the first commandment offers. Not the elimination of desire, but the ordering of desire. Not the suppression of love, but the restoration of love to its proper hierarchy. When God is not at the center, everything else becomes distorted. Your love for your child becomes anxious and controlling. Your desire for security becomes paranoid. Your pursuit of beauty becomes narcissistic. Your ambition becomes ruthless. Everything is disordered because there is no center holding them all in proper relation. But when God is at the center, when God is truly ultimate, all the other loves fall into their proper place. You can love your child without demanding perfection from them. You can pursue security without paranoia. You can care about your appearance without being enslaved to it. You can be ambitious without becoming ruthless, because everything is held in relation to something larger. Everything is ordered by the primary allegiance. Here is what we need to understand about God's intention for the first commandment. God does not want mere compliance. God wants integration. Compliance is external. You follow the rule even though you do not want to. You obey even though you resent it. You do what is demanded while your heart rebels. This is the posture of a slave or a subject under tyranny. Integration is different. Integration means your deepest desire aligns with God's desire. It means you want what God wants, not because you are forced to, but because your heart has been healed, and you now see that what God wants actually is what you want. Jesus understood this when he asked Peter, "Do you love me?" He was not asking for compliance. He was asking for restoration of the deepest relationship. He was inviting Peter into a love that would naturally express itself in the right behavior. This is what God wants for you, not behavior modification, heart transformation, not external control, internal integration. And here is what is remarkable. The first commandment makes this possible. By calling you to give ultimate allegiance to God, God is not restricting you. God is freeing you from all the other restrictions. All the false gods that have been demanding more and more of you. All the competing loyalties that have been fragmenting you. When you stop trying to please everyone and please God instead, you are free. When you stop trying to make security from your own effort and trust God's security, you are free. When you stop trying to construct your identity from others' approval and receive your identity from God, you are free. The commandment is a gift. It is an invitation to the only ordering of desire that actually produces joy. So, what would it mean to trust God with the thing you guard most closely? Everyone has something they guard. Something they will not fully surrender. Something they try to protect and control. What is yours? What do you hold most tightly? What would you lose sleep over? What would you compromise your values to protect? Because that thing, whatever it is probably not truly ordered yet. That thing is probably still competing with God for ultimacy. That thing is still creating anxiety in you because you are trying to secure something that only God can truly secure. What would it mean to open your hand? Not to let it go, not necessarily, but to hold it open? To say to God, "I trust you with this"? This is not a question to answer quickly. This is a question to sit with, to pray with, to wrestle with. Because the first commandment is ultimately inviting you into that trust. It is saying, "Give me this one thing, your ultimate allegiance. Give me the place where your security rests. Give me the center around which everything else orbits." And in that gift, you will find that everything else is healed and ordered and freed. I want to invite you to take one concrete action. Think about the thing you guard most closely. The thing that, if lost, would make you feel you had lost yourself. Now in prayer, practice open-handed trust. Not by promising to let it go, not by saying you are willing to lose it, but simply by acknowledging, "I am holding this, I am gripping it, I am afraid to lose it, and I want to practice opening my hand, not to release it, but to hold it differently, to hold it as a gift rather than as security I have to create myself." This may feel small, but it is not. This is the practice of the first commandment. This is learning to trust. This is allowing God to heal and order your deepest desires. Peter's denial was a failure of love. His restoration was not about punishment. It was about love being asked and answered. "Do you love me?" And Peter, broken and humbled, could finally say, "Yes, I love you. You know that I love you." That is what the first commandment offers to you. Not domination, not control, but the invitation to restore your heart to its true allegiance, to let God heal the fragmentation, order the chaos, and restore you to wholeness. When you give your ultimate allegiance to God, not because you are forced to, but because your heart has been healed and you now see that this is what you actually want, something remarkable happens. You become integrated. You become whole. You become free. And in that freedom, the psalmist's words become true for you. Your heart is glad. Your tongue rejoices. You rest secure, not because everything is perfect, but because everything is ordered rightly. And at the center of it all is the God who heals, who orders, who loves. Father, heal our disordered loves. Order our desires. Help us trust you with the things we guard most closely so we can be whole and free. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.